Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
There are things in life that just naturally go together. Cookies and milk, pen, paper, thunder and lightning, or even this, pastures and sheep. But you know what doesn't go together? Angels and shepherds. Oh, I know, they do now. But before Luke chapter 2, angels and shepherds, not a thing. Now? Oh, it's a thing. We all have those nativity sets in our homes with the little figurines that go together. But if you'd been there on that first Christmas night, the night that it all happened, oh boy, nobody saw that combo coming. I tell you what, let's consider what things, not angels, that shepherds would be more likely to be paired with. Shepherds and hooks. Shepherds and hook fights. Shepherds and fending off wild animals with said hooks. Shepherds and rough terrain. Shepherds and sleeping on rough terrain. Sometimes during extreme weather. As you can see, a pretty glamorous lifestyle. But where do the angels fit in? On the night that Jesus was born, God created this strange union, mighty angels and lowly shepherds, to be the messengers of the good news, the first evangelists, if you will. Their mission was to share the life-changing news with anyone who would listen. For unto you is born this day a Savior. And with that, another amazing partnership came to be. Heaven and earth. Heaven broke forth, and Jesus came down to be with us so that we could be together forever. The mighty and the lowly. Peace on earth, mercy mild. God and sinners finally. Finally reconciled.
Can you imagine the Christmas story without the angels and the shepherds? You know, Jesus is clearly the reason, right? This is what we celebrate. But the angels and the shepherds give us this amazing picture. If you can picture it, heaven coming to earth. Heavenly beings sent with a message. And by the way, did you notice whenever the angels spoke, they always led with, "Don't be afraid." It kind of tells a little bit about our psyche, our personality. People in general, when they see bright flashing lights and things that aren't normal, they do get afraid a minute. They said, "Don't be afraid." And this is really this picture of Jesus coming to earth as a baby, as the Holy Son of God coming to earth as a lowly baby in a shepherd's stable, in a place where animals ate. And this idea of a shepherds being the one that first heard this story. I'm going to pick up our account here in Luke chapter 2 and read some of the famous verses we've read before, but we're going to read starting in verse 8 and read through verse 20. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to just talk a little bit how these two beings, angels, shepherds, not only brought heaven to earth, but gave us this amazing picture of who Jesus was going to be. A holy God coming to earth to be shepherd for those that are lost. So let's read starting in verse 8, and it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Can you picture this scene? And I know if you are like me, you've lived this life a few years, and you come to this Christmas season each year, and we're tempted to just kind of rush through it, aren't we? Right? There's so much going on. There's parties we have to get to. There's gifts we have to buy. Even Saturday night before the Christmas program, my wife and I were out shopping because that was the time we had. You're rushing to get these things done, these big things that got to be done because they're so important. We got to have that perfect gift. And we're reminded of this simple, simple account, but yet incredibly profound. Jesus had come to earth, bringing heaven to earth, bringing the holy to the lowly, the angels to the shepherds, this long anticipated Messiah that had been spoken about and promised for hundreds of years had come. The angels, now this makes sense, right? They're from heaven. They brought the message. They were telling the people about it. But the shepherds may have been not the first choice by many. They were definitely the earthly of earthly, the caretakers, if you will, of the sheep. And I love this message, though, how it shows how the heavens were brought to earth and how God intentionally chose to take this message to the shepherds. Because after all, what did the angel say? This is for all people. And so God enters the fray. And the shepherds, most importantly, had an important job. They took care of the sheep, but it wasn't a glamorous job, as we saw in that video, poked a little bit of fun at that, but there was some serious tasks that had to be done, and they were just expected to be up all night, you know, that night watch to protect the sheep. Because let's be honest, sheep are not really that smart. Left to their own devices, what is going to happen? No good. It kind of reminds me of parenting, but I digress. Sometimes our kids are not the most in tune, but we hope that as we shepherd them along, that at some point they start making good decisions. But I love this picture of a shepherd because it kind of gives us a foreshadowing of who Jesus was going to be. And in these two characters, the angels, the messengers, and the shepherds, we see how Jesus was going to be. He was indeed the message. And he would be indeed the good shepherd. So the first thing I just want to highlight for a moment is this, is the Messiah, or Jesus, is the messenger. Yes, the angels brought the words, they brought the message that night, but they brought the message of the man, the Jesus, the God-man that was born. He was the messenger, and is. And in fact, he is the message. He is the purpose. He is the promised one. And this same Jesus is our purpose and our promised one today. If you're following with me and flip over a little bit to Luke chapter 4, we see that Jesus is the message. And what he was a message of was incredibly important. In Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16, we see this. He says, Jesus, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where this is written. Starting in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. Verse 21, and he began saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Can you imagine being in that room? You've heard those verses read before, and now somebody stands up, reads them again, and says, that's me. That's me. That was Jesus. Jesus is the messenger. The message is very simple. Redemption. We talked about this last week and how throughout God's story, we see many accounts of imperfect people, right? But what's so amazing about these imperfect people is not that they're imperfect, that's all of us. It's what God did in their life. See, God has been about redemption from the moment sin entered the world. He knew what had to happen, and he sent his son. This idea of love, mercy, and justice that come together in only the way that Jesus could. Because you see, the problem is that we need redeemed. All of us have fallen away. We have all sinned. And sin is very simply this broken relationship with God. And because we sin, there is a right response that God, being a just God, must deliver. And this is the idea of justice. Justice is what we've earned. And the truth is, death is what we've earned through sin, and that because of this, we have eternal separation from God. But, see, God, while he's a just God, he's also a loving God, and he loved us so much that he wanted to fix this situation. He wanted to bring us in reconciliation with him. He wanted to redeem us, and the only way that this could happen was, in fact, if he sent his son Jesus, who, being in very nature God, surrendered to God the Father's will and understood what he must do. He understood that he had to live a perfect life, to be wrongly convicted, to be killed on a cross to pay the penalty for us. Because remember, all of the character qualities of God don't live independent. They are all connected. God is a just God. He is. If you don't believe he's not a just God, all you have to do is read what had to happen. He had to send his son to pay for the sin that was breaking the relationship. But see, God loves us so much that he sent his son, who died on a cross, to pay the penalty that we couldn't pay. And now he lives forevermore. Jesus rose from the grave because we realized the final word wasn't the death, the nails in his hands. It was him rising again and conquering death fully. And he died on our behalf so that we get mercy. We don't get what God rightfully should give us. We don't get what we deserve. That's mercy. But instead, we get grace. We get this unmerited favor, this undeserved gift, which is the love of the Father made right by the redemption paid for by Jesus on the cross. And that is, in fact, what Jesus was bringing. And he talked about it a number of times. The kingdom of God is here. See, he was loving us enough that led to his sacrifice to fulfill the justice that God had. And because of the mercy of God, we get grace, which is unmerited favor. See, this is the ultimate picture of the holy coming to the lowly. This is Jesus, the Son of God, coming and living as a man, dying for our sins, raising again, paying the payment that he had to pay. And because of that, God's love, God's justice, God's mercy all meet in this collision. And out of it is all because of what Jesus did for us. In John 6:38, Jesus very clearly was obedient. Starting in verse 38, Jesus says this, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." In other words, Jesus says, "I came down because God sent me for this purpose." There's a reason why Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. He said he didn't come to be served, but rather to serve, because Jesus was giving us this ultimate example of what we're to try to live towards. Now, we can't make it on our own. We realize that. We must surrender to God, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to even come close, but we must live in the same way. And this is just an amazing picture to me of how the angels come down and gave that message to the shepherds on that day. In Mark 10, 45, jumping back a little bit here, verse I just quoted and didn't even realize it, chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's the Jesus we serve. See, Jesus, the Messiah, is the messenger. Well, the second part of this account that we can look at is that's that angel reference, right? Angels being the reference, the messenger. They brought the message. Jesus was the message. But in the same way, as they spoke to the shepherds, just as the angels had an important part, so did the shepherds. See, the Savior is the shepherd. We see this comparison throughout Scripture, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, on this Savior, this Messiah that was going to come was going to be like a shepherd. Now, I told you earlier that sheep aren't very smart, and we kind of correlate to sheep sometimes, don't we? If you think about life, if you think about growing up, if you think about decisions you've had to make in your life, sometimes can you hear those voices in the back of your head? Maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your dad, maybe it's your pastor saying, "You probably shouldn't do that." And then what happens? You do it. Is that anyone else happening? Is that just this pastor? I don't know. But sheep are not very smart. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd, and that's in fact what Jesus came to be. The Savior, the Messiah came, and he was the shepherd. In John chapter 10, we see Jesus, in fact, teaching about this very idea of a shepherd, starting in verse 11, where he says this. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man who runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus comes back and says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Aren't you glad that Jesus is your shepherd? Aren't you glad that he's the one watching out for you? Aren't you glad that he's the one that died for you and rose again? He's what? He's looking out for you. He knows you and you know him. So when you come to Jesus, there is this amazing peace that comes about you. When you go through difficult situations, when the light flashes before your eyes, can I share something with you? I had an accident on Thursday. I don't even remember what day it was now. Thursday, I was just getting ready to leave my house. And if you know where I live on State Route 44, and lanes going both ways. People are going faster than they should go. Sadly, there's a passing lane right in front of my house, so people are allowed to pass and get on their side of the road. I pull up and I look both ways. I think everything's clear. I see lights coming from the right. I start to go and I look again and I see lights, but the lights aren't in the other lane. They're in my lane. And I stop as quick as I could and tried to back out of there. And sadly, my Equinox, Black Beauty as we call it, took the brunt of the blow. And can I just tell you that for a couple days, this has just been kind of playing in my mind. And you know, you think, did I do something wrong? Should I have done something quicker? But all I could think about was the verses I'm going to share with you at the end of the service. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that we are given a message and a mission and reconciliation. Sometimes life comes at you fast. That's the point. The point is, and don't feel sorry for me, I'm okay. My car is totaled, but it had a long run. Many miles have been running on it. The other guy is okay. Everyone's fine. God is good. But what I want you to think and take away from that account is that life comes at you fast. You may just think you're going from one place to the other. Something I've done every day of the week for as long as I, you know, 5-6 years, getting ready to come to church, and your life flashes before your eyes for a moment, and you think, boy, what is this? If the worst happened, what would be the legacy? Well, Jesus died on a cross, rose again, and I accepted him as my Savior, and I pray that that is the legacy. What we do and how we live life and what comes at you fast. And I realize I scan around the room and I only know probably part of what's going on in people's lives. But I know there's recent loved ones that's passed. I know there's cancer. I know there's people that have fallen downstairs. I know that there's many things, lost loved ones. I know there's many things going on in your life. But I want you to understand this. If you walk away with nothing other than this today, know this, Jesus is your shepherd. If you call him king, if you've confessed your sins to him, he is your shepherd. One of the best passages of the Old Testament here, that's one that a lot of people have memorized, is in Psalm 23. And you know, this is David saying this amazing thing about this good shepherd. And I think it just kind of ties it all together. And this is David saying this many, many years before Jesus would come to earth. But Jesus, we know, was and is the good shepherd. Starting in verse 1 of Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I go through tough times, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David, among all people, understood what it was like to be a shepherd. He knew what love, what strength, what fortitude needed to go into being a shepherd for sheep. And he understood that God went above and beyond that. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." That's my Savior. That's the King that I serve. That is the God that I worship. That is the one and only God that sent his Son Jesus to live in this earth as a lowly carpenter to, at the right time, served for 3 years doing amazing miracles to finally surrender his life on the cross so that I can call God Father. And my prayer for you today is that you feel the same way. You feel that same message that Jesus is your shepherd. And my question for you, is he? And if he is, how does it change your life? And this always brings me back to the word hope. Hope. I know that no matter what, Jesus is the message. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now the world and the devil will try to crowd out the things of this life. They'll try to booger things up. But the cool part is, no matter what happens, Jesus is still the message. And he is still the good shepherd. That is what happens when the holy comes to the lowly. The good news is that he is the good shepherd. He has paid it all. He has paid the price of your sins and my sins. And he is undoubtedly the great shepherd. Jesus is the message. Jesus is the good shepherd. So what is our response today? Well, the angels brought this message to the shepherds. Heaven came to earth. Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy One, became lowly. John chapter 1, kind of going back to these verses we've called on before, we're reminded in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And then in verse 14, it reminds us that the Word, or Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. "We have seen this glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, the Holy One, humbled Himself. That's my Savior. He demonstrated how we are to live. And the question for you is, what is your response to this? He came to be the message, and He came to be the shepherd. How are we going to respond? Well, my closing verses are ones that I've called on a number of times and will call on more in the new year. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Why did Jesus come, and what is our response supposed to be? Starting in verse 16, it says this. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 16. "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer." Verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled," or made us right to Himself, "through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." In other words, making things right. He gave that to us as followers of Jesus, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. That's mercy. Not getting what we deserve. Rather, Christ paid for it. And He has committed us to us the message of reconciliation. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making the appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Verse 21, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." God sent Jesus to this earth because that was the only way we were going to be reconciled. And He invites us into this mission, into this message that's all Christ. Never forget that. But He gives us this message. And you know, ambassadors hold tremendous power. If you are an ambassador of the United States in a foreign country, generally you would be given special privileges, you would have special powers, you would have special rights to do certain things because you speak on behalf of the United States government. Same can be said for you today. If you follow Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've surrendered your life to Him, you are a new creation. You are an ambassador for Him. You speak as though you are for Him. That's what God's Word tells us. You have been given the mission and the message of reconciliation. It's no surprise that Jesus' final words were a command to therefore go and tell the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe His commands. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ if you call Him Lord. You know, it's interesting and just fitting that if we go back to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, interestingly enough, it says this, "The angels told them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" What did the shepherds do when they heard this good news? They went. They went and told everyone about the King that had just been born. Let that message resonate in your heart this Christmas season. God works through God's people. I don't understand it. It would be so much easier if God just said, "All right, this is what's going to happen. Done." And He's done that, and miracles happen. But generally speaking, He chooses to work through you, work through me. My job as a pastor is to continually call this out and say, this is what we're to be about. This is what we're to be doing. And hopefully you're being encouraged and equipped to do this. But then the hard part comes. Monday morning comes. You go to work. You meet that person that's a little bit sketchy, a little bit hard to deal with, and you realize, maybe God's put me here to tell that person about Jesus. As the worship team comes forward, my prayer to you is that just like the angels telling the shepherds to take this message in Luke chapter 2, verse 17, and then in verse 20, we see what the shepherds did with this message. Verse 17, it says, when they had seen him, when they had seen the baby, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And then verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. As you think about this Christmas season, we're going to sing one more song. We have a Savior. Oh, yes, we do. But when you have the opportunity to take this message with you tomorrow, the remainder of this week, and into the new year, are you doing it? And then, are you coming back to Him on Sundays or whenever you can and praising the God and saying, yes, you are my Savior. I'm obediently following you. That's my prayer. So as we get to our feet, we tune our guitars. We're going. I appreciate you doing that, by the way. I'm a drummer, but I can tell sometimes. But anyways, we have a Savior. Let's sing this song.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.